Let's pick up where we left off yesterday. That's the way to go. We're still in the sugya of Neman Alai Abba. I told you that we're going to pick up with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So just to clarify, what Rabbi Akiva going around this morning, I think some of you were not quite sure what Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha was, which we left off with yesterday. So maybe we'll go through the kasha a little bit, and how the answer relates to our Gemara. So again, the line we have been focusing on is the first line of the Gemara, Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, which is Amar Avdin B'Reid Rav Nachman B'Reid Rav Yosef Kigon Dekiblei Alei B'Chad. That when do we say Neman Alei Abba, Neman Alei Avicha, Neman Alei Shoshroi Bakar? When do we say that a Meir holds you can be Choser, the Chum say you cannot be Choser? That's if you accept Abba or Avicha as one of your Edim, one of your Dayanim. But if you accept them as all of your Dayanim, then we have a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds if you accept Abba as the one and all and only and be all, whatever, the only Dayan. So Rashi says, yeah, that's also Machlokas, Rameir and the Chacham. Rameir says you could be Chozer on that, and the Chacham says you can't be Chozer on that. Says Tosfos, no. If you accept him as your only Dayan, well, then you have you have two issues. What are your two issues? Number one, he's pasul, and number two, he's only one person. So it's a tarti l'reusa. So then everyone would agree. Even the Rabbanan would hold yachal lachzerbo. You don't have to stick by that commitment. And the basic yisod is that when you make a commitment that's very, very far from when you make a commitment to accept something that's very far from being kosher, you are less likely to be bound by such a commitment. Whereas when you make a commitment to accept something that's just outside the lines of being kosher, you're much more likely to be bound by that commitment. That's the yisod that we're working with, right? So, in fact, the Gemara on Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the top, when it made the Tzrichas of, you remember, when it spoke about the difference between Neman Alei Abba versus being Mekabel one witness as two. So what did the Gemara say? I would have thought Neman Alei Abba, you'll be more bound to that commitment because Abba is at least a kosher witness to other people. He's just not a kosher witness for my case. But one guy as two Edim is not a kosher for anything. So I would have thought you'd be more bound by Neman Alei Abba. And again, this svar is the same. That when you're committing to accept something that's just outside the lines of kashrus, that commitment is much stronger than when you commit to accept something that's way outside the lines of kashrus. We're less likely to hold you to your commitment when you commit to accept something that's way outside the lines of kashrus. Question is why? I was just thinking about this morning. It's not in the sugi, not in the packet. Just thinking, why is that so? Torah tells me kosher, pasul. There's things that are kosher, things that are pasul, right? If it's pasul, why do I care if it's a little pasul, very pasul? If I have the ability to be mekabel, let's say it works, keep it simple. How does my ability to be mekabel work? Mechila, right? I'm just mochel. I'm mochel all the psulim. If this aide wants to testify against me, fine, I'm mochel the money. Let's say it all works for me, the mechila. What difference does it make? If mechila is a mechila of a little psul or a mechila of a big psul, I can be mochel money that you 100% absolutely owe me. And according to, I have 1,000 eidim that say that you owe me, and I can still be mochel and it's 100% effective. So why does it matter if it's a big psul, a little psul? We're going to hold me to it if it's a little psul, but we're not going to hold me to it if it's a really big psul. Either way, I was mochel. I said nemanai. I said I'll accept it. So if you hold it, that's binding, so it should be binding. Oh, you hear the kasha? So I was thinking about, you know, Mashal Ma'adavar Dome, just to give a mashal, not an exact parallel. There's a famous Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, the second paragraph of Bava Basra, where Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Gemara is in the sugya of Rov V'Karov. The Gemara discusses, we know there's a whole parsha in the Torah called Egla Arufa, that if you find a dead body between two cities, so the city that's closer to the dead body, if it's, we don't know who killed him, their basin comes out, does a whole procedure with a baby calf, and they chop the back of its neck, whatever, a whole procedure, they say that we're guilty, whatever it is, right? Or they say we're not guilty, actually. But they go through this whole procedure, right? The Parsha of Egla Rufa, the Gemara Bava Basra understands, teaches us that there is a... We know we follow Rov. That Achiram Lahatos, we always follow Rov. Nine stores sell kosher meat, one sells not kosher meat. You find a piece of meat somewhere on the street where all those stores are, you could assume it comes from the nine stores, right? We know we follow Rov. That parsha of Egla Rufa teaches me that another factor in what to follow, what to and how to make assumptions of where things come from, is Karov. How close is it? The city that's closer is more likely to be the city where the dead guy came from. Right? Teaches me the concept of Karov. So in the context of Rov Karov, the Gemara discusses the following case. You have a baby bird that can't fly, too young to fly. And you find it within a certain distance, you find it in between two nests. One nest is owned by Reuven, the other nest is owned by Shimon. And you're not sure which nest the bird is from. So the Gemara discusses the concepts of Rov versus Karov. Maybe one nest is much bigger, so that would be Rov. Maybe the other nest is closer, so that would be Karov. Well, one rule the Gemara says is that if it's more than 50 amos away from a nest, there's no way the bird hopped all the way there. If it's more than 50 amos, because before a bird flies, it will not hop more than 50 amos away from its nest. It just doesn't do it. That's what the Gemara said. So Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the Shaila, what if it goes 1 foot, one step over 50 amos? Can't even hop one step more? So the Gemara says, Alda afgul Rabbi Yirmiyah mibei midrasha. When Rabbi Yirmiyah asked that Shaila, they threw him out of yeshiva. They threw him out of this medrash. A chutzpah. Chacham give a shir. They tell you that it's 50 amos, and you ask, oh, but come on, what if it's 50 amos and an inch? And they give a shir, that's the shir, that's what it is. That's what the chachamim, when the chachamim give a shir. When the Torah gives a shir, what if I ask, what if I don't need a kazayas and matzah, but I eat like just a shade under a kazayas and matzah? So the mind of kamina, if I eat just a shade under a kazayas and matzah, or I eat half a kazayas and matzah. Either way, I didn't do it. And it's possible. There are clear. That's the way the Torah works. There are clear borders. There are clear boundaries. When you don't, when you're not within those boundaries, so that's it. You're not within the boundaries. So if I accept it, b'mechila, amochel, that the guy could be one reisa, and amochel, the guy could be two reisas. What difference does it make? Either way, I was mochel. Why by two reisas? Oh, you're not going to hold me to that mechila. But by one reisa, you will hold me to that mechila. It's outside the boundaries. They're both outside the boundaries. What do I care if it's a little bit outside or a lot outside? I was just thinking about that this morning. Any thoughts? You weren't thinking. I didn't give you any lead time to think about it. I was thinking about it. No? Yeah?
If it's two of them, then you wouldn't even expect, not even expect it for a second to be mocha. It's so crazy that it'd be mocha that he'd go back on.
Similar. I was thinking along very similar lines. Good. I was thinking along very similar lines to what everyone was saying. I think it's similar. You let me know. That, let's say we're going to have a sugi about asmachta. Let's say I tell you, I'll give you a mashal, real life story. My children wanted to go to a baseball game. They always wanted to go to baseball games. I actually took them to a baseball game. We went to Yankee Stadium for a Yankee game, right? Kamuvan, and they wanted to go for batting practice. Because when we were in Philly and we were in Baltimore, we went for batting practice. We went 2 hours early. They got balls signed by the players. It was loads of fun. You know, what could be better in life than having met Mark Guthrie, the fourth pitcher in the Orioles rotation? I mean, that's exciting, you know. So I think his name is Mark. I don't know what his first name is. Guthrie. Something Guthrie. So what, there's nothing more exciting than that. So we decided to go to batting practice. So we go to batting practice, except it was pouring outside. So there was no batting practice. So we show up, it's 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock. And there's nothing going on because it's pouring. So we're sitting there in the rain, 11 o'clock. Game's supposed to start at 1. It's still pouring. They don't cancel the game. They say the game is delayed. They start the game finally at 2:45. So we've been sitting in the rain for 3 hours and 45 minutes. Good? Not good. They start the game. Phil Hughes is on the mound, if I recall correctly, and he's throwing meatballs right over there. they're destroying him. The Yankees are down 7-0. I'm making the story a little longer than it has to be. Okay, Lemaisa. I have our Balsam's kid with me also. I have my 4 boys and 2 friends. Me, no other adult, 6 boys. Good. A lot of people looking. All yours. Okay. Anyway. So we're at the game. The Yankees are losing by a lot. They're losing 7-0. It's the fourth inning. So I say to the kids, Derek Jeter's up, and I say to the kids, If the Yankees don't pull within 2 runs, we're leaving, because I'm not sitting here any longer. And also, and you know, I had said that right at the beginning, you know, right when they were down by 5 runs, and then I said, we're going to leave as soon as Derek Jeter gets out, as soon as he's out of the game. I mean, if he grounds out now, so that will be it. We're leaving. If he gets on base and gets thrown out at second, we're leaving then. Whenever he's out, whenever he's not in the game anymore, we're leaving. So good, he gets on base. So the next guy gets on base. The next guy gets on base. Derek Jeter's on third base. The Yankees are down 7-2-1. 7-1, let's say. Next guy hits a grand slam. So Derek Jeter is now off the field, but now they're within 2 runs. I'm stuck. Right? So I got to stay. So, okay, fine, we stay. That wasn't the important part. The important part was then Penny Balsam, Rabbi Balsam's son, huge Met fan. He's at the Yankee game with us. And he says, the boys are like, oh, Yankees making a comeback, you should become a Yankees fan. And I said, look, Penny, you could be a Mets fan, but if you want to be happy in life, you know, you should become a Yankees fan. So anyway, Penny says, if the Yankees win by 13 runs, I'll become a Yankees fan. I don't know how many of you remember this game. The Yankees won by 13 runs. They had 3 grand slams that game. It was a historic game. The game was like 7 hours long. I was in Yankee Stadium that day from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. It was crazy. 3 grand slams. We saw a historic game. And they won by 13 runs. Does Penny have to become a Yankees fan? Promised. Said 13 runs. Okay. Now, he didn't make Kenyan, right? This, even according to the Rambam, this is what the Rambam's definition of a smachta is, right? The Rambam says that a verbal commitment, even without a kinyan, is a commitment unless it's al tanai, and this is al tanai, right? Now, let me show that. What's the yisod? Why would he not be held to it? What's the svara?
He's a katan.
Well, okay, let's assume he's not a katan. He's a pretty big kid. Let's assume he's not a katan. Why would he be held to it? Why would he be held to it? Why would he not be held to it? I mean, he said 13 runs. Was it? They won 21-8. That's 13 runs last time I checked. Yeah.
He didn't really ever want to be a Yankee fan.
Very good. He never wanted to be a Yankee fan. The Yankees weren't going to win by 13 runs. No team in history has ever hit 3 grand slams in a game. True fact. They were the first ones ever. That never, ever happened in the history of all of baseball. It wasn't going to happen. He never wanted to commit to that. It was a Kuzma. It was a joke. It was an exaggeration. You can't hold someone to a commitment that's a pure exaggeration. I was thinking maybe there's a similar story here. No, what was my kasha? I commit to something that's only chad reyesa, it's only one reyesa, so we're going to hold me to that commitment. He's just outside the lines of kashrus. But I accepted him. You can hold me to that commitment. But I commit to something that's way outside the lines of kashrus. So you're not going to hold me to that commitment. Why not? Because it's not a commitment. It was so far-fetched. It was so out of bounds. It was so beyond what would normally be acceptable that I couldn't have really meant that. So you can't hold me to that commitment if I change my mind and I decide I'm not going to stick with it. Yeah? No, because I could be serious about the fact that, yeah, I'm mochel, he's a relative. I'm mochel, we'll trust him. But I couldn't have been serious that I'm mochel, he's a relative, plus I'm mochel, the fact that he's only one person, I need 3 people. Meaning, it's just too far-fetched.
I feel like it's underplaying what the chomim set up. Like,
oh, okay. Yeah. Now, that's a different kasha. That's a kasha we're going to deal with. Rav Shachter points out, Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Hashas asks, isn't this a masa mashkas b'torah? That there's a whole sugya in Shas called Masa Mashkas B'Torah, that you can't make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. That I'm going to make a Tanai, let's say I'm Mekadish Anisha, as long as I'm allowed to sleep with other women, or she's allowed to sleep with other men. No, that's not a Kiddushin. The definition of Kiddushin is she's not allowed to sleep with other men. You can't make a Tanai that undermines the whole, right, the whole premise of what the Torah says. So I'm making it tonight that, yeah, we don't need Dayan and this guy's good enough. Abba's good enough. What are you talking about? That's not what the Torah says. It's similar to our question of by what mechanism are you locked in. That's an important kasha. But let's assume it's just mechila. Mechila's not masal mash kasa b'torah. You owe me $1,000 because I lent you $1,000. That's a din d'oraisa that you owe me $1,000. So I'm allowed to be mochel. It's not a problem, masal mash kasa, but some mochel. I'm mochel the money if my father says that I have to pay it, even though my father's not a kosher dai. So I thought that svara about that when you're way outside the bound, you know, the bounds of kashrus, maybe you view it as a guzma. You know, just an exaggeration. But then I was thinking that maybe that's not such a good svara, because what's the halacha? If I accept Neman Alayaba and I don't change my mind, I continue to accept Neman Alayaba, so then I am bound by it. If it's pure guzma, I mean, it's only if I change my, not bound by it, then we do follow it. It is a valid Kabbalah. If it's pure guzma, then it shouldn't be a valid Kabbalah at all. But you could say, no, it's not a valid Kabbalah at all. What's Bezin going to do? Tell me not to give him the money? I want to give away my money. So I'll give him, tell him to, you know, I have to force him to pay me? I don't want to force him to pay me. I'm not asking for money back, because I said, Neman Alayaba. So I'm not forcing him to pay me. So it could be that it has zero validity to it whatsoever. If I accept Abba as all three Dayanim, and then Abba as all three Dayanim says the other guy doesn't have to pay me, maybe it has zero validity. But I don't have to ask him to pay me, because I don't want to ask him to pay me. Right? And if I want to back out on it, so it was a guzma, it was a joke. It was an exaggeration. That was just something I was thinking about this morning. I don't know if it appears, if there are often a rise against it in any svarim, just a thought I wanted to share. Now, where we left off yesterday was the following idea, though. This idea of Tarti L'Reyesa. How exactly do we define what Tarti L'Reyesa is? So remember, we mentioned yesterday, if the sma, the sheet of the sma, I accept chad kosher b'makom shlosha, one kosher guy instead of three dayanim, is that tarti l'reisa? Because not only is one not two, one is not even three. I mean, the other way around. Not only is one not three, it's not even two. So it's a double jump. So maybe that's a tarti l'reisa. So the sma's idea was that if you're mekabelech al kosher b'makom shlosha, it's not tarti l'reisa, because it's a shame reisa chadu. It's all one shame reisa. Shach holds it is tarti l'reisa. The Urim V'Tumim says if you say like the sma, Urim V'Tumim Rabbeinu Sanhedrin, if you say like the sma, even if you're mekabel three krovim to be done, you can't be chozer. Because it's only one reisa. It's all one psul, one shame psul. Meaning it's not that Abba is one of the dayanim and the other Torah kosher. Even if I accept all three dayanim, my father, my uncle, my brother, whatever, all three dayanim are krovim, still it's only chadal reisa according to the sma. Because it's all one shame psul. Right? Remember that's what we mentioned yesterday. So what I didn't mention yesterday is I saw in the Yalkut Biurim in the back of the Masifta, this ktsos that I photocopied for you, where the ktsos says it's not a good. Well, let's put it this way: the Urim V'Tumim says a raya for the shita of the sma, the raya that the sma is correct, that it's all based on one shame reisa, is the case of shlosha roi bakar. How's that a raya? Shlosha roi bakar, you do hold me to it, right? That's the case of our Mishnah. But each one is a separate psul. This guy's a Roa Bakar, that guy's a Roa Bakar, that guy's a Roa Bakar. That's three psulim. No, it must be this mass correct. That what? That it's one shame psul. Good? So the Ketzos just points out, we mentioned yesterday, I think, that there's a machlokas Rishonim, if the din that you need three dayanim is because when you have three dayanim, like we saw in the Gemara of Gimel Amud Aleph, you could be guaranteed that at least, or at least pretty much assured, that at least one of them actually knows dinim. But really, one is enough. And that's the sheet of Rov Rishonim. Then there's the sheet of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah holds that you need all three to know dinim. So if you say like Rov Rishonim, that really, how many dayanim do you need? Really, you only need one. So when you're Makabel Shlosha Roi Bakar, how many psulim is it? It's not only one shame psul, it's really only one psul. Because Be'etzim, you really only need one. The only reason we require you to have three is so that one of them will know what they're talking about. Well, you really only need one. So it's really only one psul. If you say like Yad Ramah, then you run into a little bit of trouble, right? Yad Ramah holds that you need three Mikra Adin. So Shlosh Roy Bakar should be three psulim. So the Sma says, oh, shame psul. It's all one shame psul. Is that a good raya? Is that a good raya to the Sma, according to the Yad Ramah? That you really need three. So he writes that even Ludas Hayad Ramah, Yesh Li Yashiv, Kivan Sheyachol LeKabel Yachid Mumche, Im Kein Ein Raya LeKabalas Krov. So he says, even according to the Yad Ramah, there is a concept that a Yachid Mumche, one super expert, is Kasher as a Dayan. By Shlosha Roy Bakar, you're accepting only one psul, because any one of them, you're saying, even though he's not an expert, he's not a mumcha, I'm treating him like he's an expert. It's only one psul. But by krovim, there's another chisaron that he's a karov. It's a totally different din. I mean, even according to the Yad Ramah, that there is a din, that if you take three judges, it's not because amongst the three, one of them will be an expert. Maybe none of them will be experts. But when you take three judges, the idea of taking three judges is that three helps. The number three is valuable. But even the Yad Ramah's moda, the Yachid Mumche, one super expert judge, is also good. So as long as you hold the Yachid Mumche is good, when you accept three anything, it's only one chisaron. Because the three Roy Bakar, you're just saying, okay, treat one of them like a Yachid Mumche. So it's only one chisaron. But by Krovim, not only are you saying treat him like a mumcha, you're also saying treat him like he's not a karov. That's a tarti l'reisa. So what we ended shir with yesterday was the kasha that Rabbi Kivega raises. Very simple kasha. The teretz relates very much to our gemara. Simple kasha is as follows. The gemara has a drasha that Pasuk tells us v'amdu shnei ha'anashim. Pasuk says that when you have Edim, the two Edim should be Anashim. So the Gemara Masechet Babasra, Daf Kuf Nun Hey, Darshins, Anashim. So what did we say yesterday? Below what? You remember? Below Ketan. Right? It's only Anashim, not Ketan. Ketanim can't be Edim. So Frekt, someone Akasha to Rabbi Kivager, it's in the Tshuva, someone asked Rabbi Kivager, why do I need a Pasuk to tell me that Ketanim can't be Edim? Pashut that Ketanim can't be Edim. Why is it Pasha that Ketanim can't be Edim? Because rule number one of Edus, I don't know if it's rule number one, but one of the rules of Edus, Kol Edus Sheyata Yachal Azima, any Edim that cannot become Edim Zaman are not valid Edim. Ketanim can never become Edim Zaman. Because even if you come and say, Imanu Hiyisem, you were with us, you couldn't have known that, we can't kill them. We can't punish them. They're not Bnei Och. So Ketanim are a puzzle anyway. Why do I need a separate puzzle to teach me the Psul of Ketanim? So Rabbi Kivei Eger quotes, in the name of his son, Hagoyin of Shloime Eger, who wants to say, based on our sugya. So that's why I told you to take a look in the photocopy I gave you yesterday for Rabbi Kivei Eger. Ubni Agon Moreno Arav Shlomo Neri Yir Kosvali Od Beis Nafkaminas Halamai Dekaimelon Per Gimel De Sanhedrin Bahid Neman Alay Abadenu Yachalach Svo Davka Dekibalei Bechad Avul Kibalei Bechad Kibetrei have Beis L'Reisa. That which Tosos holds, that we paskin like, that when you makabel someone, we might hold you to it, that's only if you're makabel Chad Reisa. But if you makabel two Reisas, then we're not going to hold you to it. What if you makabel a Katan? Is that Chad Reisa or Trey Reisas? Let's say I say, let two adults and a katan be my dayanim. Is that one reis or two reis? Nope. Hazak, what do you say? The katan is going to count for one of my dayanim, not for all three. I'm going to have two kosher ones and a katan. Is that one? Am I foregoing two problems or one problem? What are you telling it? Don't be shy. One. Just a katan in place of a dayan, right? One problem. Zakter Shlomo Eger, no, it's two problems. Because the Katan himself has Tzvei Dinim, there are two problems within the Katan. Number one, the Katan is Apostle Eid because Eidu Shiyat Yachal Azima. And number two, he's possible because I understand Hashem. Look, Tanim. There are two psulim in the katan. So by accepting a katan, you have to overcome two problems in the katan to accept him. Huge chiddush. Think about this. What if I accept as one of my edim shlosha roi bakar, right? I accept as one of the edim, let's say, a roa bakar, a guy who's a roa bakar, and he also happens to be a degenerate gambler. According to this Rosh Lemeiger, how many races is that? It's two. Within the same gavra, and you're only going to count him as one judge. Any flaw in his personality that should make him a bad aide is going to be another Reisa. Wild. It reminds me a little bit of Tosfos Megillah, where Tosfos talks about the concept of, let's say, can a katan be motzi me in Mikra Megillah? Let's say I have a katan read the Megillah for me. Can he be motzi me? And have you ever had it? No, you never had it because it can't be motzi. So what's the rule? When can somebody be motzi somebody else? When can't they be motzi somebody else? Same level of chiyuv, right? If let's say I'm only chayiv mitarabanan in something, and someone else chayiv mitaraisa. Let's say you hold nashim in birchas hamazon is only mitarabanan. So a woman can't bench for me because she's only chayiv mitarabanan. I'm chayiv daraisa. Let's say you hold kiddush on Friday night. This is a famous kasha, the Dagul Mavava in Reish Ayin Aleph. Shulchan Aruch, Dog Mavava, author of the Buddha says, wait a second, to be Yotzei Kiddush Daraisa, all you need to say is Good Shabbos, according to Ricky Vega. So, to be Yotzei Kiddush Daraisa, you only need to say Good Shabbos, right? Every man, and maybe you need to say a little more, maybe you need to say nice words about Shabbos, like Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, 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 something like that. You need to say something like that. What happens on Friday night? Man, Davin's Marvin Shul, what does he say in Shul? Shamru, he says Al Shmon Esrei about how great Shabbos is. He says Good Shabbos to everybody in Shul, then goes home. His wife hasn't said Good Shabbos to anybody, hasn't davened, and he makes Kiddush for her. In fact, the Dogma Rav, you can't be motzi her. She's Chayiv Midoraisa in Kiddush. You already were Yotzi Midoraisa when he said Shamru. You're only Chayiv Midorabanan. How could you be motzi someone who's on a greater level of Chayiv than you? Okay, so there are terutim, lots of them. And there's another ingredient to the kasha also. But the basic rule is, you can't be motzi someone who's on a higher level of chiyuv than you. Mikra Megillah, mitzvah daraisa and mitzvah drabana. Drabana, how do I know? Not in the Torah. Came later. So the truth is, it's not that clear cut. Right, someone said daraisa and feels, ooh, I feel sheepish. No, you shouldn't feel sheepish, because it's not that clear cut. It's midivrei kabbalah, which might be closer to daraisa than it is to drabban, because it comes from Navi, comes from Nach, not Navi Ksuvim, but you know, it comes from Nach. It's not so posh. But let's assume it's drabban for argument's sake. Can a katan be motzi me in Mikra Megillah? Again, the answer is no, but why not? Does a katan have to do mitzvahs? Does a child have to do mitzvahs? Not when he's very young, but then there is chinuch. At a certain age, he has to do mitzvahs. Is that midrabanan or midaraisa? So it's midrabanan. He has to do mitzvahs at the age of chinuch. Midrabanan. So he's chayiv in mitzvahs, midrabanan. All mitzvahs. Mitzvahs rabanan, mitzvahs raisa, chayiv in mitzvahs, midrabanan. I'm chayiv in mikra megillah, midrabanan. So, why can't the katan be motzi me? So says Taisvus, Megillah, trade Rabbanan. I'm only Rabbanan for one reason. The reason my mitzvah in Megillah is not a mitzvah daraisa, there's only one reason. That's because Megillah happens to be a mitzvah Rabbanan. The katan has two strikes against him. He's only chayv Rabbanan for two reasons. Number one, he's a katan, and therefore any mitzvah that he'd be chayv in would only be Rabbanan. And number two, this mitzvah is only Rabbanan. So that's considered lower. A trade drabanan is considered lower than a chad drabanan. Reminds me a little bit of this svar of Rabbi Kiveger's son, no? I would say Pasul Eid is Pasul Eid. If I'm accepting the Pasul Eid as an aid, so I accept him as an aid. It's only one. He says, no, you have to look at why he's a Pasul Eid. If he's only got one problem, so then it's only Chad Reisa, you could accept that. But if he's really Pasul, he's got a lot of things against him, then it counts as a double strike. Just like I can't accept one Pasul Eid as all three Dayanim, because it's a psul in counting him as an aid. And it's a psul in counting one guy as three and just forgetting the fact that I need three and saying that I'm only going to use one. Those are two separate psulim. Within the individual, you could look at two separate psulim as being separate. Remind me a lot of the Tosfos Megillah. Again, it's not the same. You don't. If you hold one concept, you don't have to hold the other. But it's the same. Conceptually, it's the same. You know, the mechanism is the same. And it's within the guy, it's a double psul. So that's the chiddush of Shlomo Eger. Why we need a separate pasuk? Rabbi Akiva Eger says no, that's wrong. He says both psulim are chisaron and edus, are a pasul edus. That's not called a tarti d'reisa. And he says therefore, if you're mekabel your father as an aid or a dayan, just as one, he's only counted as one. And your father happens to be a gazlan. So there's a tati l'reisa and a chadu l'reisa. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, come on, that's a chadu l'reisa. That's not a tati l'reisa. He says, I don't accept what my son says, what Shlomo Eger says. If there are two problems within a guy that are both about the fact that he's pasul eidos, you can't call that tati l'reisa. You got to call that only chadu l'reisa. So what about the following case? Let's say I'm Mekabel as one of my Dayanim, not my father, my mother. Oh, what would you tell me? So my mother has a significant disadvantage of being a relative, and another significant disadvantage of being a woman. She's possible for an aid, for a Dayan, for both of those reasons. I'm not saying in general, you know, women are great, okay. In political statements. Like take a snippet out of this and I'll find it on like some blog or something. It gets my Rebbe in trouble all the time. Anyway, so if I'm a cop with my mother as an aide, what would you tell me? According to Rav Shlomo Eger, it's tarti d'reisa. Two psulim within the same person is two psulim. According to Rav Akiva Eger, chadu d'reisa, right? So this is great. He quotes the Urim B'Tum, Rav Yenison Eibshitz, writes that if you're mekabel an isha krova, hareze tarti l'reisa. Why? Listen to this. You could argue, says Rav Yenison Eibshitz, that if I accept my father, let's say I accept a gazlan who's also a Michal Shabbos. Gazlan is also a Michal Shabbos. If I accept him as an aid, that's Chad L'Reis. But if I accept my mother as an aid or a Dayan, that's Tati L'Reis. Why? Yeah? But why does that affect the numbers? Meaning, why does that make mother and karov, female and karov, two separate psulim within the mother, but gazlan and murderer, let's say, are not two separate psulim within somebody else?
Because those are part of like the same psul of him not being able to testify. Like,
you're right there. Yes, yeah, so say it.
Him not be able to testify in all cases, but this is one of them. Is for
there
all
was.
Cases.
When a guy's a murderer and a gazlan, both of those are psulim that cancel them for every single case in the world. When a woman is my mother, she's both a karov and she's a female. Karov would passel her from my cases. Female passels her from all cases. That's tati l'reisa. Tati l'reisa is if each reisa accomplished something, the other doesn't. not each, but if one adds to the other, right? If the reyesas are not equivalent, are not exactly equivalent. So what if my father is a gazlan? So it would be the same thing. It would be tarti the reyesa, right? Against Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So the Rambam too. So again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger rejects his son. It's hard to get all the shittas here. Rabbi Shlomo Eiger says, anytime there are two problems in the same person, that's tarti the reyesa. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, that's crazy. If that were true, when your father's a gazlan, it would be tarti the reyesa. That's ridiculous. Your father's a gazlan, it's only chad the reyesa. Says the Rambam to him, not so fast. If you accept your mother, that's tarti the reyesa, because the psul being a woman, the psul being a relative, are two separate psulim that do different things. One is psul for everywhere, one's only psul for you. And therefore, says the Tumim, if your father's a gazlan, it is tarti the reyesa. Because the psul of being your father and the psul of being a gazlan have different ramifications. So it's tarti the reyesa. But says the Tumim, I still think Rosh Shlomo Eiger's wrong, right? The Tumim could still say, I think Rosh Shlomo Eiger's wrong. I think if you're a katan who's puzzled both mishum being a katan and mishum being eitzah shi'ata yachal azimah, well, that both of those things are psulim for everywhere. So that would still only be chadar reisa. So you have three potential shitas. So again, I'll take a question in a second. But potential shita number one is Rosh Shlomo Eiger, who says anytime there are multiple problems within one personality, that counts as tarti reisa. You have Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who says no, multiple problems within a single personality is only chadar reisa. And therefore, father who's a gazlan, mother, it's all chad reyesa. Then you have the Tumim, who says, well, it depends what kind of reyesas they are. If they're two identical reyesas within the same person, identical meaning they accomplish the same thing, like a katan, then it only counts as one. But if there are two reyesas, each of which have a different scope, like a mother, who the psul karov only applies to my cases, the psul woman applies to all cases, or like a father is a gazlan, where the psul gazlan applies to all cases, the psul father only applies to my cases, well, then it will count as tarti the reisa. Three shittas. Judy, you have a question?
If you reject the
Shlomo Eiger,
so then how do you answer
that
question of what the extra
pasuk?
If
you reject the Shlomo Eiger. Oh, yeah, so then you're right. So then you have to read the whole tshuva. Then you got to go with one of the other four answers of Kiveg is suggesting that tshuva that has nothing to do with our sugya. So, yeah, you'd have to go back to those. Interestingly, the Nesivus, when he discusses this tumim, he says, Af shalibi megamgein bazeh, ein lozuz midvarav below raya. Gives you a little hint, which means, like, even though doesn't sit well with me, but you can't argue on Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz without a raya. I would need to prove him wrong, and I can't. Gives you a hint as to what they held of Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. And the Nesivus is no slouch himself. He was also a descendant of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which is interesting. That the Nesivus has such can't be cholik and Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz without a raya. His Zayda held that Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz is not Pikores. Right, the Zayda held that Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, you know, was a Shabtai Tzvi follower. Interesting. Okay, it's a little Jewish history. Yeah, no question.
I mean, I don't know if it make any practical difference, but you could potentially have up to three reyesas. Is that like the most you could have?
Once you have two, you're done anyway. The kashya is according to Rashi that two is fine still. Is there any number that will? Like, I mean, maybe yeah, Rashi would say, why does Rashi disagree with Tosos? Let's say it this way. If we mentioned yesterday, the way Rashi reads the Gemara is so not the Pasha Pashat of the Gemara. Which is very strange, right? The Gemara says that if you, what did the Gemara say? That we're talking about the Kibble Elei Bechad, which implies that if you're Makabal Kibay Trey, if you Makabal him as two Eidim, even though he's only one, you Makabal the Avicha as two, it implies that everyone would hold you could be Choser. But Rashi says, no, it would still be a machloka. Same thing. Well, you can makabal him as one, you makabal him as two, it would still be the same thing. What's the svara for Rashi? Why would Rashi not read the Gemara in the normal way? So maybe pshat is Rashi was bothered by the kasha we started shiur with today. Which is, what do I care if he's a little bit outside the lines, or very outside the lines, or very, very outside the lines? If you be makabal him, someone who's possible, you makabal someone who's possible. Chad reis, a tati reis, it doesn't make a difference. It's a mechila. or whatever the mechanism is. We're gonna have to get into that eventually. Also, I've been asking that same question for 4 days already. Right, what the mechanism is, if not a mechila. But whatever it is, it works whether he's a little outside the lines or a lot outside the lines. In which case, Rashi would say 3 races, 5 races, 10 races doesn't make a difference. Tosfos would say by the time you had 2 races, you're already, the kabbalah is already invalid. Right? So it would turn out Bein Rashi Bein Tosfos, it wouldn't matter how many races more than 3. The Rashi, even if it's 10, it's like 1. According to Tosfos, once you hit 2, it's as bad as anything. Right, so it would turn out not to make a difference. What if you're a couple of women as a gazel? Just make sure we chap the shitas. No, Shlomeger, woman who's a gazel. That's definitely tarti l'reisa, because in the same person, Shlomeger held that 2 psalm within the same person is tarti l'reisa. She's a woman and she's a gazlan, right? Okay. Rabbi Kiva Eger?
One.
Right? Because 2 psalm within the same person is 1 reisa. The tumim?
One.
Why?
She's apostle for all.
Good. Both a woman and a gazlan, apostle for all eduyos. Unless you say, no, the scope is a little different. Maybe the scope of the isra is a little different. This is what I was just thinking about, really related to what everyone was saying before. I think everyone's saying that. Can a gazlan ever testify ever again in his life? He could do tshuva and he'd become a non-gazlan. He can't do tshuva from being a woman. So it could be that the scope is much greater when it comes to gazlan than it does when it comes to being a woman. If that's the case, maybe according to the tumah's definition, it should still be tied to the race. Because tshuva says no, it's only chadi race. But that, I thought, maybe, and operations don't change, you know. As Rabbi Tendler, when there was a male teacher in Stern College a few years ago, it was in the New York Post, who went through a gender change operation and came back as a woman, or the other way around. I don't remember which one.
He
still teaches there. So he came back as a woman, whatever it was. So they were asking Rabbi Tendler, who's the chairman of the bio department and is one of the world experts in bioethics, what are you talking about? And he said somewhat crassly, just because a man grows female anatomy parts, except he named the parts, doesn't mean it's not a man. Or the way he said it, just because a man stands too close to a fan, it doesn't mean he's not a man. No matter what happens, if you're born a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're a woman. There's no doing tshuva. There's no backing out of it. Right, that was the money quote in the I think they used for the Purim Spiel that year. That's the close of a fan. Okay, with that, we will close shiur. Okay. I